mean, we can choose to get in or we can choose to get out of it. You know, being in faith is a choice. And when we're in faith, expectation. And I say that because all through the Bible, when they was believing God, these people were believing God. Now, I mean, they had expectations in different. It brings a manifestation. That's really where I get that, got that for myself. So I always like to express that, you know, because we can have our mind on troubles, cares, finances, people, the world and what's going on, and it can actually rob us from what the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us, praise God. So if you're not in faith, go ahead and choose to get in there, hallelujah. And I know the Lord's going to minister to us tonight. I was going to go down the same lines of the maybe the word, but I'm going to always preach the word. But the Lord began to deal with me about vision. So if I was going to title the sermon, it would be Build a Vision. And I was thinking about, you know, what I mean by that, you know, personally, all I had is shattered dreams when I got saved, you know. I mean, you know, a lifestyle without the Lord leads people to bad things. Bad things happen and different things. There's things when we serve the Lord that he spares us. I mean, you know, but not only that, you know, I started, having the dreams and visions that I had for my life. I started feeling like on the inside, they'll come to pass if I believe God, you know. That's what I mean, build a vision. Whether it's, you know, and even after we build vision in areas, we have to maintain that vision because things come, circumstances and people. I know I was dealing with a guy who had to have an opener in, and, you know, and sold his house. He's a Christian and everything, and I'd met him earlier, but when I first was talking to him about it and tried to fix him, I got him fixed up today. He's closing out today. But when I was first talking to him, I was telling him, man, you know, won't you come to church? Oh, it's too far to drive to Huntsville, blah, 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 you know. Just stay right, man. I'll drive to the movies real easy and spend $100, you know. Amen. But for 30, 40 minutes. But anyways, you know, I was talking to him, and he's telling me about his problems and stuff. His wife diagnosed with cancer, we're going to have to go through therapy, some kind of cancer or something, you know, and all of that. And he said, you know, he said, Satan thinks he's got the advantage, you know. And I said, well, he always does. I said, he tries to get us to let him have the advantage, you know, as born-again believers, because we don't stand at the point of trying to get victory. I don't care if all your bills are behind. You're not trying to get victory. Man. You're standing in victory. You just got to believe God and let it come. Let it happen. Let the blessing work. You know, well, I got that vision from the Lord, you know. Yeah. Not standing in a place of trying to get God to move and all of that back there out of ignorance, you know. No, God wants me to stand up in the place where he can move. Right. You know, where he wants to stand in place. But anyways, things go on. They start, you know, having to move out and all of that stuff. And I go up there and what part I thought would fix it didn't fix it, you know. And me and Travis did. But when I got back, I told him, I said, well, the only thing I can do is put a new unit in. I've got one. If you want to do it, I know you don't want to spend that money, but it is what it is. You know, I said, it is what it is. Well, I get back up there, and then he said, I'm making a point to what I'm saying. You know, they had vision of selling their house, getting out of debt, you know, being out of debt. Nothing wrong with that. I'm believing to be out of debt. You know, all of us need to build a vision of getting out of debt and coming out of debt. And when you get 55 and you get 65, you need to have vision in your 20s and 18s and let God build vision so that you go toward a future, not just let the future, whatever happens, happen. That's what the Lord talks about building the vision and maintaining it. Anyways, I go on, you know, and I get back up there, and he said, you believe this blankety-blank stuff, you know? And I mean, you know, they tell you, starts cussing, you know, and upset because, you know, he said, they say you ain't about to spend nothing. He said, I'm $9,000 later. Things changed, didn't it? And now what's coming out? What was really coming out of him? I'm like, oh, yeah, you had a vision of getting debt-free, but your trust wasn't really in, you know, the Lord as deep as maybe you thought it was. I'm not judging the guy. He said, we will know people by their fruit. I don't cast sentence on him. He is where he is, you know, and I am where I am, and I ain't going down where he's at. Right. Things happen to all of us. Life throws curveballs to all of us. Things happen. People, you know, pass on different things. I mean, things happen. But you know what? We can't let anything come to steal the vision that we build and God builds in our hearts through the Word of God. Right. You know, and so I left, and when I told him, I said, look, man, y'all need to come to church. Well, we just heard one healed of cancer that we prayed for and believed for. Where did they get the prayer from? Where'd it come from? Yeah. This church. Man. And wherever other believers are. There's a difference in people that, oh God, please, can you please not let them die of cancer? That's not prayers of faith. I was thinking of times whenever I had vision of Travis, you know, he's 5 or 6 years old, and had vision of him, you know, and believing God that one day he would have a heart to go in and be in the garage door business, but I never pushed it on him. I let him decide what God, but you know what? That I asked the Lord for, and that vision started coming to pass when he was 16 years old. I wouldn't turn loose of it, though. I would tell the Lord, Lord, if he's supposed to be in the garage door business, then let him have a heart for it, Lord. Let him know that it's your will. Because I knew then, you know, that faith begins, vision begins where the will of God is known. Right. You can say it that way. Because faith is a seer. Faith sees. Right. Right. Faith sees, hallelujah. And faith speaks. Faith speaks to us. You can do it. You can do it. That's not you. That's faith trying to come out of you, praise God. You're just not going to turn, you know. And then it turned out, and here he is. And what an amazing thing that I would have a relationship with my son like I do. And all of y'all guys, and me and him work together and get along real, real good. That's amazing. You know. But what I'm saying is, you know, things have tried to steal that vision. I'm just talking about my little story there. Steal that vision over time, you know, and blah, 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 and putting pressure on me and different things, you know. But I wouldn't let none of those things move me. Why? Because we have the power in us. Amen. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And that's why, you know, just like if you need healing in your body, don't stop till you let that word dominate your mind and your heart and get in there to where you're like, but God, I'm healed. And you don't have to, you know, like hope it'll happen anymore. Hope's good. But when you enter into faith, then that vision comes alive. Then your natural body automatically fighting off. God made it to fight off sickness and disease and to heal up itself. But how much more with the anointing and the power of God and faith and the word? Hallelujah. How many knows it is vital to have vision from the Lord? And you know, I don't know how to put vision in people, but I know how to preach the gospel. And when you preach that word and you get people in that word, and it's not just the preaching of the gospel, many, many things in my life that I got personally as I was reading the Bible, not really looking for anything, but I was fasting on a regular basis and reading the scriptures and keeping my mind stayed on the Lord, because I would go to jail and God would give me a scripture. You know, he said one scripture I used a lot. He will keep them in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on the Lord because they trust in me. And I would carry that to the jail. But you know what? While I was carrying that, it was working in me. I'd go tell them guys, they're all tore up, man. Their lives are wrecked. They're in jail. They can't get out. They're under big bonds. The families are done fed up with them. I mean, I've seen it all. And I would go in there with the gospel. I'd go in there with the good news. Gospel means good news. I would go in there and tell them God can deliver you. God can fix your life if you'll let him. He can walk you through these problems. I was giving them vision. And I'd be there and I'd be like, gosh, he's going to deliver them, Lord. You're going to bring them out. And then I would be excited to hurry and get back the next Sunday or the next Thursday. See, many people today have lost vision. I'm glad we got the media. And I'm believing, God, that every preacher on TV is going to be zapped with the anointing to say, go to church, go to church. Don't just give me an offering. Go to church. Find you a Bible. If ain't a church in your area, get down and fast and pray and believe, God, that one will birth in your place. Had a guy come in here, and he'd come here, and his family, and he had dealing drugs and stuff, and they had busted him, and went and dug up a bunch of marijuana out of his yard, or whatever the case may be. Had to get under a bunch of dogs and feed and bowls and stuff, you know. Drugs are not dumb. Very intelligent people. If they can run a cartel, they're not dumb. I mean, they are dumb, but they're wise people. They just caught up in the enemy's trap. But anyways, come here, and he said, brother, he said, the Lord told me to bring my family here. I got to go to prison. What? I said, what? I'm like, dump your family off on us? Man, you're going to prison? That's what I thought. I thought, man, he had about 3 or 4 kids at that time, you know. And I'm like, oh, man. I told him, I said, well, I said, bless God, if it's the Lord, then he'll take care of them. I didn't say it will take care of them. I said, if you've heard from the Lord, then he'll take care of them. And I thought, this is a good place to be because they'll hear the word. They'll begin to hear the Bible. And I've done come through the jail system. That's about the lowest you can get. That's about they're down at the bottom. So if I got them out here, they're not in that bad shape, you know. And so anyways, I said, well, fine. Well, I set a trip to go to Tuscaloosa. I believe it was Tuscaloosa. Well, yeah. You could go visit. So I thought, well, I need to go down there and visit with him. So I set up, I believe it was a Saturday or whenever it was, to go down there and visit with him. And so I drive to Tuscaloosa, you know, and I'm visiting with him and everything. And I told him, I said, look, man. I said, you know, Paul and Silas were put in prison. I said, they were in prison. I said, and at the midnight hour, I said, they begin to sing praises to God. I said, what I'm saying here, I said, the prison didn't have them. What I was trying to do is give him vision, because I seen it out of the Bible that somebody can be put in prison. If they really touch the Lord and they really move the kingdom down where they're at, then it'll shake that place. Right. And so I told him, I said, start it in here. I said, start a revival in this place. I said, you know, you're locked away and you've got a certain time. I said, focus on the Lord. I said, fast and pray and seek the Lord. I said, start prayer meetings. Amen. And he did it. And things changed in that prison. When I got there, he was telling me, oh, they're starving us to death. This is bad here. It's bad here. I mean, it was real. You know, telling me how bad it was. By the time I left, he said, Brother Scotty, I said, I'm with you, man. I said, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be fasting and praying with you. I said, and I'm going to believe God, you're going to win people to Jesus down here. Well, you know what? To my knowledge, he never got discouraged like that again. He turned his focus toward the Lord. Lord gave him vision through what I was saying, I believe. And it turned things around. Give me that Proverbs 20. Well, go ahead, son. I'm not there. We must build vision, dream. People told me, so I've had preachers say, well, you can't just tell people dream. And I said, why not? You do. Well, you may not dream. I said, don't you want God to use you and open doors for you to preach? Hell yeah. I said, that's dreaming. I said, I don't know what you think I'm talking about, but that's dreaming. I said, let your dreams turn into faith toward God. And then God said, delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart, commit our ways to him, and he'll bring it to pass. I said, why would I not tell the body of Christ to dream? Right. Dream about having a good marriage. The Bible says it. Yep. Anything in line with the Bible, believing God for a new car, nothing wrong with that. He said he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. Man. But people lose vision. He says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, the word, happy is he. Now, the word vision there means a prophetic vision. It means vision from the Lord. Well, I'm not sitting here tonight talking about natural. We're supernatural beings. Amen. And that word is supernatural. We've been learning about that word. That word can't deteriorate. It can't rot. It can't lose its power. It's eternal. That's why he goes in and builds godly visions, eternal visions, about having a good marriage, about coming out of sickness and disease, about living in health, divine health, about getting restored if something does attack us. But perish, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word perish, I looked it up, it says to cast off restraint. And it says to cast off restraint, to draw back. And then I started having these and I wrote some things down. And the Lord said, they stopped believing. He said, where they're not sitting under my word and getting in my word and staying stirred up with the vision, he said they just cast restraint off. They just let whatever comes, thought come, let it come. And just this is life, the way it is. Just like the dude with the house, you know. I mean, first time I talked to him, oh, yeah, we love the Lord. And I don't doubt it. I'm not judging him. But when the heat was on and the Lord told me, he said, right there is all the fruit that he had. None. He didn't have no fruit. I told Aiden, now, them two kids, sight for food. I'm talking about food. If it don't look good, it ain't good to them. And so Teresa bought me some oranges, you know, or tangerine. And so I went in there and I said, they're good. No, I don't want one, Papa, last night. No, but she didn't feel real good. I said, they're good. I said, they're good for you. And I went in there and I had her eat supper, you know, and I peeled one of those and put it out there on the plate. He's looking at it, I mean, I can just see it. He would rather have a cookie. You know, I can just see it, you know, and he's looking at it. But he got interested in it. I mean, and I'm thinking, if he would just taste that orange, just taste that tangerine, he don't really know right now. If he'll just taste it, he'll eat it. And so sure enough, he ate a little bit, and then he ate about half of it. He said, Papa, I think I'll save the rest for later. I said, well, that's fine, you're full. You know, well, I looked back down there just not long after that. That plate was empty. I said, what happened to that orange? Tracy said, well, he ate it. See, it was good. He ate it. He ate that. But you know what? The taste of that will give him a vision for the tangerine. Man. Next time, he'll know what that tangerine going to taste like. And he'll know more that I want one. Because they are good. Well, when we see God, when we keep visioning God, that's the way we are with him. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, times are kind of troublesome. You know, they're spirit, demonic spirits. I've not seen them turned up like they are, really. I have in little spurts, but trying to come in and oppress the body of Christ and oppress people. And now he's really jumping on circumstances and things and making them yield to how it, trying to make them yield to how it feels and how it looks. I told Satan the other day, I said, you idiot. I said, you attack my church like that. Praise God. I said, you got the wrong church. Amen. You do that and I'm going to beat myself up in him. Then I'm going to go beat them up in him. Then we're going to hunt you down. Amen. Well, don't it say these signs will follow them that believe? Don't it say we'll cast out devils? Don't the Bible say that he'll give us the ground our feet trod on? He's put us here. He's put you where you live. You know, God needs some anointing in every arena. My road is blessed because I'm out there. My squirrels love it. And my fruit's good. They go eat it. I'm having to put things around to keep them off of my fruit, man. You know. We're bare fruit. We have dominion. You have dominion. But they stop believing. They stop praying. They stop fasting. He said they stop resisting Satan. They stop going to church. Y'all hearing me out there? You've lost vision of being healed. You've lost vision. You've quit fighting. You've quit praying. You've quit fasting. You've quit moving forward. You quit doing the things that was bringing you victory in your life. You quit. God don't never fail. And God's word don't come short. And God's promises are not slack. He's not slack concerning them. I just told Travis, you know, I went into 2023. This is our year. God said last year that people got things they've been believing for a long time. And he said, it's going to carry on into 2023. But you know what? We're going to have to pick up the baton, so to speak. We're going to have to go deeper. He's taking us higher. And we're going. I'm not going to say we have to. We're going. We're going to flow with the Lord. We're going to flow with the Word. We're going to keep vision. We're going to keep a grateful heart, like Bradley was saying. We're going to take heed to what God is saying in the different kinds of ground that the Word of God falls in. The seed is the Word of God. We're keeping account, and we're getting in our hearts. We're going to be that bunch at the bottom, that fourth one that fell on good ground and brought forth a hundredfold. Hundredfold harvest of the Word. We're not going to settle for 30. We're getting all the rocks out. We're making sure that no unbelief comes in. We're making sure that the cares of this world don't choke the Word. We're making sure that people's troubles out here and all of that don't get our attention to where we're focused on all the trouble, but we're focused on the Lord. We're keeping vision. We're maintaining vision. And I'm telling you, God will bring it to pass. It says they stopped praying, fasting, resisting Satan, stopped going to church, they stopped walking in love, they stopped giving, they stopped speaking life into their lives. That's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to tell them tonight, don't lose vision. Maintain it. I wrote it down. Maintain your vision. I've got vision, and I'm going to maintain it, and I believe he's going to enlarge it. Hosea 12, I didn't tell him to write that down, but Hosea 12 over there, God told him, he said, I enlarged your visions. And the Lord spoke to him, he said, tell them I'm going to enlarge their vision. We have visions that God's going to give us. I'm not talking about weird things. I'm talking about revelation from God's word as we go deeper in it. And you know about how many things are going to come up that we never thought we would desire, and we're going to have to believe God for it. Well, dealing with the issue with rats back there. And I mean, I'm about up to my neck with those rats. I mean, I heard Max scream like a woman. I thought he was a woman. You know?
I felt like
a woman. I know it, man. I turned around and I thought it was a woman.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it shocked Mac. A big gopher jumped out in his lap.
Yeah.
While we was unloading the boxes, you know, and everything. And sending those big rats home with these people, you know. That's really bothering me. That's really, really bothering me. And so anyways, I'm taking steps, you know, and I'm encouraging them, y'all gonna do something about it up here, you know. You're gonna get cooks and all of that. And I've done some calling and checking, and I'm on a mission. Those rats are gonna go.
Man.
I mean, when I confronted the issue, it wasn't well up there. You know, and I'm not going to say too much about it. I wasn't up there to stir nobody up, upset nobody, or nothing like that. But let God say, look, if there's something we can do about things in our life, let's take the initiative to do it. And then what things we can't take care of, let's give it to God and let God do it.
Amen.
And so I was pulling out, and I told the Lord, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll cut this ministry off so fast they won't even know what hit them up here, you know, like that. And I'm pulling out on the road, you know, and then I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I won't do it unless you tell me. But I'm fed up with these rats, and I believe it's you. I believe it's you. So I'm standing there, and I told him, I said, well, what happened to let's believe God to get rid of these rats? I said, these rats, and I'm preaching against the devil the same way. I feel the same way by them as I do the devil. Nasty varmints. And so I believe in God, you know, that they're going to get some good pest control. I believe God sent cooks to our house. This man couldn't get rid of rats for 3 years. I prayed and fasted. And Teresa kept saying, I'm calling cooks. I'm going to end the man. No, I'll take care of it, baby. I thought, call Cook. I'll get it. So I get big traps and all kinds of things, man. And I caught one every now and then. Then I couldn't hardly shoot it because its little beady eyes looking up at me. Wanted to take it out and make a pet out of it. I got to go out there with a gun and shoot it. And she calls Cook's pest control. I mean, it wasn't just a couple of months. We don't have no rights, Mac. You know, that's what I told that lady. Man, they won't let it. Anyhow, I told her, I said, you know, I said, Cooks is not a bad thing. Wouldn't have Teresa made this statement. A willing heart makes a hearing ear. And when I was talking, there was not a willing heart to even listen to what I was saying. So, therefore, it went on deaf ears. I started to say, could you get those muffs off your ears? You can't see them, but I know they're there. And listen to me, man. Well, Mac, this is our ministry. Mark, what? Y'all learning or what?
Yeah.
You're just learning, right? Well, trying to stop my vision. Trying to stop our vision, see? I mean, you know, things trying to stop our vision. I mean, the Lord told me one time about the clothing ministry down there. People donate junk down there. You wouldn't want to think they would, but they bring their junk just to get rid of it out of their house. You know, and so I'm down there with, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to get rid of all the junk. And so I go down there and I say, listen, don't keep no holy t-shirts, no marijuana t-shirts, no Budweiser t-shirts. Don't keep no holy shoes. And you know, it was hard to turn loose of that stuff. Not for some. But some of them's like, well, I mean, somebody might could use it. You know, somebody might could use it. I said, yeah, but God said get rid of it. I said, look, we got to sow good stuff so that we reap good stuff. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not, see, the word will keep you in vision. And I believe the reason why that ministry, you know, they think it's going to cost them something. That's not your ministry. I mean, God owns all the gold and the silver. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God can tell this minister or any ministry, I want you to pay for the whole deal. I want the rats out of there that's going into my people's houses that can't afford rat poison or cuts. See, trying to mess with the vision. What are we going to do? We're going to fast. We're going to believe God. I told that lady, I said, we'll believe God with you, ma'am. But see, really, I was talking to the wrong one. So I got the head of the ministry's number today, and I didn't want to deal with it on Wednesday right before church. How many knows if you keep down confrontation before church, it'll do you well? Do it Thursday. Pick another day where you got a couple of days to get over it. Don't do it on Wednesday. That was a free nugget there. Hallelujah. They stop believing, stop praying, stop fighting. They stop fighting. Without the word keeping in our hearts and God stirring up the prophetic word that he's given us. I mean, I don't know countless times that I've had to, I mean, when things started happening, I felt the enemy was attacking marriages, you know, several months back. He even did it to this church, you know, and I felt like he was attacking. I went to Tracy and I said, let's make sure that if that tries us, that we don't yield. What was I doing? Preparing ahead. If he does, both of us are aware of what's going on, and we are not going to yield to it because we're not going to lose the vision that we fought for our good marriage and relationship for 30-something years and finances and everything else, and let the enemy come in and steal our vision because we're not keeping the word up and to bring down everything that we have worked and believed God for, and he is doing it every day to people. You don't believe it? Look around. I have people upset with God. Well, he was going to church, and God, you know, he just didn't. I'm like, no, don't blame God. Don't blame him. There's things happened in my life that I didn't fight for, and it's not God's fault. There's things in my life that I didn't keep vision and laid the vision down, and it wasn't God's fault. There was one time whenever me and my brother split, you know, and we was really busy people, you know, and everything, and I went and made up 1,000 cards, you know, and I laid them up on my dash of blood overhead door. The other door company we had together was Weston overhead door. And it was booming and all that, and anyhow, we split. And I made up 1,000 cards, and I thought, I'm not giving none of them out. I just need a break from this. I just need to back off and don't, you know. And I made a decision, you know. I bought those 1,000 business cards, but I'm not going to give none of them out. I don't want, and my brother kept the Weston overhead part, which was the biggest part of it. And so I didn't really have the responsibility, you know, of what I had believed God for. We believed God. I know I did. We believed God to raise that business up. I had vision of that business. He had vision of that business. And we didn't do it on our own. God did it. I'd come down here and sow seeds out of it into building funds in other churches and stuff out of that business, believing. See, I knew that faith without works was dead, being alone, according to the book of James. So I knew that I could have vision, but I needed to plant seed that is showing God, that's releasing my faith, that God will raise it up. And God did it. Well, a day or two went by, and that song, you know, it says, don't quit, don't stop. And then one part of it goes on, and it says, you'll wonder what went wrong. And I was listening to that song, Keith Moore. Y'all listen to some of his music. They was inspired to him by the Holy Spirit. They're originals from the Lord, I believe. But anyways, I had this thought come up in my heart. And the Lord said, he said, if you don't do it, he was giving me a choice. If you don't do it, you will always wonder whether it would have happened or not, the business. He said, you'll wonder. And I pondered that, and I thought, oh, man. I thought, what if I get 50, 55 years old? And I realized then I should have did it. Because I was only about 30, maybe 30, 31, 32. Opportunity of a lifetime that God had given me. I realized it, but not like I do now. And that's why I'm telling you, you got to keep vision where you're at. You might not know the full road of where you're going, the full plan, but I'm telling you, it's good. Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, good, to do you good and not evil, that you would have an expected end or a prosperous end. Right. So I made up my mind. I thought, go with that, wishing I'd have did it, man. That's not good. That's not good. So I made up my mind, and thank God today that I did. When I was 32 or 3 years old, I mean, that thing has been a blessing. Has been challenges, sure. There's been trials, sure. There's been things tried to steal the vision, sure. Told Teresa one time, I said, so I understand our struggles sometimes. You know, I told Teresa one time, I was feeling like less than a man because I couldn't even keep our bills paid up. So I understand when you say, I'm behind, and I walk off like nothing happened, and you won't get upset. I understand that they ain't nothing I do for you other than what I'm doing now. I tell you, put your trust in the Lord, go plant you some seeds in the house of God and get your vision up and see it done before it's done. People don't understand. Some people, carnal people, and people that send out and unbelief, you will irritate them when you keep vision and you maintain. You'll get on their nerves because they'll be whining and all that, and you'll say, oh, no, but God, you know. Well, where's God in all this, you know? I mean, you'll be like, and they'll be like that guy told me, has it come to that about praying? No, it ain't come to that. There should have been some of that going on to start with. You know, But you know, I mean, the enemy, he wants to steal our vision. He wants us to lay it down. He really can't take nothing. I'm saying the wrong word. He wants us to lay it down. Just quit on it. You know? But if we don't quit on it, remember one time I was feeling less than a man. I was telling you a story. And I mean, about 2007-08 economy and all that stuff. Everybody looked at the world. You know? And those choices had to be made to Christians, whether they were going to trust the Lord or not. Absolutely, God let things fail me and then spoke to me. He said, I'm letting the things that you're trusting in fail you. And I thought, man, don't do it to me right now. God, wait till things are over. Wait till things are going good to do it, Lord. Now, he don't do everybody like that. That's just where I was at. And God wanted my confidence to be totally in him. And he wasn't going to let me fail, Johnny. He wasn't going to let me fail. He had no thoughts of me not making it. All he was trying to do was get me to turn and trust him and get the vision of his strength and his power and his ability so that he could bring the supernatural into my life and bring deliverance, which is exactly what he did. And I'll tell you today that he won't fail you. It looked impossible, but I told Teresa, I said, maybe I need to go get a job. You know, because I've always preached it, and I believe if a man don't work, you don't eat. I believe if we're lazy men, we need to get the laziness out of us by the Holy Spirit. I believe we need to be productive people. I believe we need to do what we're supposed to be doing. Right. And I have to keep that in check because I'm a go-getter, you know. I have to limit myself to things and go home and I mean, I can just work it on and on, you know, and I've had to learn to do that. But you know what? I won't let none of that steal my vision. Don't let anything steal your vision. But it says they perish. They stop believing, stop praying, stop fasting. Fasting's good. It's good for you, spiritually, to go on a fast. I fast often. I don't brag on that. I fast a certain day. If I feel like that certain day's turned into a ritual, I won't fast that day. I'll choose me another day. I'll swap it up. I'll just swap it up. And I know. I mean, I absolutely know in my heart, you know, all of these years, ministry and marriage, and I was thinking about today, I was thinking how people, you know, they some even Christians, they're like, well, you know, it's going to take a move of God to bring them out. It's going to take a move of God to bring them out. And I mean, you know, in that sense, like that, you know, and like, there, it's just useless. It's useless. You help, and you help, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, the Lord, I was thinking about that, how that some Christians get in that mode. That's a defeated mode. And I thought, well, bless God, you know, I didn't even know nothing about it, but God told me to get the Crisco out of the counter through the TV. And by God, it looked, I mean, if you'd have seen Teresa, me and her, it was useless. I would think God can't save that woman. But you know what? I wasn't thinking and planned it out. I just went, grabbed that anointing oil, slammed it on over everybody. I did it times. I've got anointed prayer cloth and put under people's shoes. I got that out of the Bible. They went, Paul anointed prayer cloths, went back, and people got healed and stuff. Yeah. And so there's always something we can do. That's what God was doing. He was, I mean, I had faith, didn't even know I had faith, and God was using some stupid thing to me in the natural to grease up everything in the house that when she touched it, it represents the anointing at that time. And I mean, it began to do things. So if you think that today your kinfolk are too far gone, nothing you can do, if you had just happened to get around them, go ahead and pray over and anoint you some prayer cloths, shove one down their purse or shove one in their coat pocket or, you know, and release the anointing. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, if I looked at the church over the last 20 years, I'd have quit a long time ago, Matt. You know, I had to go through, I'm crying in the bathrooms one time. We started out with 70 or something, I don't know, had a bunch of people, Matt. You know, and then, I mean, and then we get down to where things hardly none here. I'm in the bathroom 3 minutes before service. I'm weeping in the bathroom. And I'm I'm saying, I don't understand, God. I don't understand, you know. What am I doing wrong? Or is there something that I could do better? And blah, blah. I'm in a pity party. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, how long are you going to let the people move you? What has that got to do with you doing what I've told you to do? And I snapped out of it. We lived at Roseland. I snapped out of it. And I'll never let that happen again. See, what I'm saying is that was trying to steal my vision, get me discouraged. You know, that thing in the natural from doing the will of God. I'm sure Jesus could have. God, why are you letting Satan test me in the wilderness? I've been fasting 40 days for you, Lord. Why are you letting all this happen to me, Lord? Why are you letting this devil tempt me, Lord? No, Jesus went through and showed us through the power of the Holy Spirit that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That every tongue that rises up against us, Isaiah 54, 17, he fulfilled it on the cross. That elementary doctrine means you get saved and you begin to learn what he did. That's elementary, getting born again. Then you begin to grow up in him. Now you've left that up. That's what Johnny brought it up. You know, that's what my church that I was going to, all I remember is salvation messages every week. And I'm not against salvation messages. Everybody needs to get saved. But you know, I got up there, and it's a whole new arena. I'm like, they don't. And I said, ha! They wouldn't do that hooping and stuff. A lot of them learn to do that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm not on all of that. You know, God told me one time, he said, if you're going to be a real preacher, you got to learn how to hoop. I said, what hoop? I was born again in my living room, man. What's hoop mean? He said, well, you know, he said, and he said, and come on down to the river. I said, really, man? I said, does that bring the anointing on you as a preacher or something? Well, no, that's just the way we do it. That's the way preachers do it. And I said, well, I don't find any word of the Bible told me to be like preachers. They told me to be like Jesus. I said, I'm not going to learn to hoop. I said, dang, you hoop all you want to. I said, that's fine. And I said, I ain't got no problem with hooping. As long as there's some anointing in the hoop. I said, as long as there's some anointing in the dance. As long as there's some anointing in the preaching. I don't care if you're yelling. I used to scream and spit. Nobody wanted to sit on the front pew, Mac. Man, I come down off of here and I'm spitting everywhere. Everybody's like, phew, phew, dodging spit, man. But that spit didn't make me anointed. No, it's the vision and the anointing. I just read it today where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted. And that anointing came in us in the book of Acts. Whenever we get born again, Jesus said over there, he said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He told him, he said, go tarry in the upper room, Jerusalem, in the upper room. He said, wait there till you be endued with power from on high, then will you be my witness. In other words, all the things that they had done, they didn't realize, you know, that this is going to be in you. And then the book of Acts, Joel chapter 2 says that in the last days, he'll pour his spirit out on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy, have dreams and visions and all that. He did that. Man. That prophecy is fulfilled right there. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. Well, that happened. That he prophesied in Joel happened in the book of Acts. He poured his spirit out to all flesh on this earth. And that's how come when it comes in us, it transforms us. I mean, it transforms us. We're like, glory to God. Why? Because we're new creations. We're new beings. We're born of the power from on high. And we got it. We got it. Well, I mean, people are like, I get so sick of dealing with this stuff and this earth and blah, blah, blah. And I tell them, no, the Bible says that he give the earth to the sons of men. He give it to us to take dominion in. You know, when we're taking dominion, life don't feel that way to us. But when we're just laying down, letting life come, we get wore out and tired. I manage that devil. told the church that one time that I got out, and they said, "We don't want the devil working for us." I said, "No." I said, "What I mean by that is everything that he means for our bad, because we believe Romans 8:28, then we know that all things work together for our good." I said, he is working for us when he comes against us. If we'll believe God, God will make him pay. He'll make him pay. Make plans to prosper. If you look around and you feel like you're going to fail and all of that stuff and things are not going the way you, write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. You're born again. Put it on there. Say it every time you leave going to work. I'm going to prosper, Lord, this year. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to prosper. You ain't got to quote a bunch of scriptures. You're in line with scriptures with your mouth. Hallelujah. You're encouraging yourself in the Lord. That's what David did. And David, he said, "I would have fainted lest I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." And he wasn't even born again like we are.
Amen.
Plan. Make plans to increase. Make plans to grow spiritually. Make plans to increase financially. Make plans to prosper. I'm believing my business done opening up this year. I've got Tri-Green. They wanted me to go over to the other plant. Went over to the other plant. And they said, "Just go ahead and put that door in too." And they said, "We put you in as a vendor." This is this year. And then I had Morton Buildings up yonder in Garden City. I've tried to get them in the 90s and the early 2000s because they are booming. They're all over Alabama and Tennessee and all over, you know. And I've been wanting in with them for a long time. And you know what? They called me up and took me about a month or so through the process and everything. And I just got two down payments on two big jobs. But you know what? I could have went back last year. "Yes, I'm going to be debt free. Just lay back and just retire and just slow down and, you know, and all of that." But when I seek the Lord, I can't help it. He stirs me on the inside to prosper. He stirs you to prosper when you seek him. When you seek the Lord, you want to be well. That's him in you. The Bible says it's him working in us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. I mean, that's him wanting us healed and strong. That's him giving us desires to prosper. That's him giving us desires to have a good marriage. Talking to a guy today that had went through two divorces, you know, and everything. Not today, the other day, yesterday, I guess. And I was telling him, I said, "Yeah," I said, "you know," I said, "ministers especially are really greatly challenged because of the divorce rate and the divorce it's been over the course of 3 decades. You know, Christians getting divorced and not making it and all of that, you know." And I said, "And you in your own case, two divorces, not of your own making, 3, not of your own making." I said, and "you got to make sure if you go minister to God's people that you minister that Bible and you go teach those young kids not based on your experience that you get married and you stay married for life." I said, "That's the Bible. No matter what you experience." I said, "Now, if you have to sit down for a while to get your healing and get your head straight," I said, "I watched my pastor do it." I said, "He went through a divorce, not of his own making." I said, "He called in an apostle to preach for us for 6 months because he felt like that he needed minister to and go through healing. He didn't want to get up and preach that to the church." I said, "He took care of him." I said, "He was a wise man." I said, "That won't never happen to me." I said, "But I'm telling you, I seen the example, and I seen him come out good, and I seen him take on and lead that church on into its victory." Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know what? He wouldn't let it steal his vision. Although his life was messed up and all of that, and I mean, he was a lonely man, and I mean, trying to figure everything out, I'm sure, you know, going through the process, but he's a healed man today, remarried and happy. And actually, probably this, I don't care. His wife just inherited a bunch of money. Bunch. I asked him, I said, "Did you marry her for the money, man?" "No, Doc." I said, "I'm just kidding." Well, she just told me, she said, "I need some land. I said, what do you need? I need some land for." She She said, "What was it? Shit, y'all moving?" "Well, no, we're not moving. I just inherited all that money, and I need to do something with it. Don't that sound like us?" I mean, wondering what can I do with all this money, man? I need to get rid of it somehow. That's a good problem. Right? Hallelujah. I mean, he went from being blessed to even blessed. She's fixing to buy him some work. He just don't know it. Because when you buy land, you got to clean it off. Build gazebos. Put trailers on it. Keep it clean. Plant flowers. If I had all that money, I guess I'd just go put it in somewhere drawing me some big interest. Because you buy land, then wrong land. Some of you need to believe for land. You need to believe God. Have vision this year. So I want to encourage you, maintain your vision. Don't let the enemy, he did it with a lot of the children of Israel. He did it. I mean, God goes down there and sends Moses and tells them all, y'all know the story, tells them all, give them vision. Woo, yeah, man. We go into a land where we don't have to build no houses. We ain't going to be making these brick for Pharaoh anymore. We ain't got a slave no more. Man, we can eat grapes and stuff. They give us their left, I don't know what all they give them. You know, and then they're like, yeah, baby, get to the Red Sea. And Moses tells Moses what to do. Red Sea rolls back, get out there. Then on their journey, they begin to hate what God was feeding them. Raining manna out of heaven, got tired of it. Got tired. I'm tired of going this route, Lord. Same church, year after year. I need something fresh. Better watch it. Got to them one time, well, I mean, I just feel a little stale here. And I said, yeah, they began to tell God that in the wilderness too. And I said, them people didn't enter in the promises. I said, they should have praised God for that manna day in and day out. I absolutely see things like this you think wouldn't work now, but they do work now. I mean, we're getting chicken fingers, Mac. I mean, loads of chicken fingers. We had to buy all these deep freezers, man, to keep these chicken fingers. I had to take some and keep in my house so we could get them back. And Richard and them did too. I think y'all might have did it. You know, and I heard those people out there, are we ever going to get anything other than chicken fingers? Chicken fingers. Every month, chicken fingers. I said, you better watch it. That lady looked at me. I said, you better watch it. I said, this couldn't be the last chicken fingers that Jesus lets you have. I said, you want to complain about what he's blessing us with? I said, you better watch it. We ain't had more chicken fingers. No more chicken at all.
Then about 3 months, how we gonna get any more chicken?
Are you serious? You got us cut off from chicken. You're complaining about the blessing, man. I said, yeah, well, you didn't know, but it don't matter. God hears you complaining. He hears that you're grumbling. He hears you griping about us down here. Well, I'll give you more. One lady griping because she got home and got home, called her neighbor up. And I reckon, Matt, they brought all they got down in the box.
I got mayonnaise, I got a pack of this, pack of that.
And called the neighbor up, what all did you get? And they went through and determined that each one of them didn't get the equal amount. And so she called me. One lady called me.
That is not right.
So what are you talking about?
I come down there and got food, and I called sister,
whoever it was.
She said, and then she got mayonnaise, and I didn't get mayonnaise, and you need to tell them workers in there that they need to give us the equal everything.
And I said, you know what you need to do? I wanted to spank her, man.
Yeah.
I really did. I said, you know what you need to do? I said, you need to put the lid on that box. And you need to find somebody you can deliver that box of food to so you can be thankful that the Lord is using you to give away food.
Right.
Oh, well, I need that.
I said, well, praise God for it. It's hard for the Lord to bless people like that. Especially believers.
Right.
Fuck Adam, that woman you give me. Come on, Adam. You're in my presence, homie. I mean, you're in my presence. I made you. I made you out of the dust. I breathed into you. And now you're saying that woman can change you? Y'all men, stand strong to your woman. I stand strong to my woman. I mean, I do. She says stuff, but if I'm serious, she just says, okay, honey. Then if she don't, I tell her I'm going to give you spanking.
Amen.
I mean, I stopped in this morning. I said, I store up there and Sneaky Pete's up now. Well, I went and got the food this morning. I stopped in there and I thought, well, I'll stop there and get this. There's two ladies in there. And I said, let me get a ton of water warnings, you know. I said, if you don't mind, give me a pack of hot sauce. I like hot sauce on my biscuit. And I said, if you don't mind, please, give me a pack of hot sauce. Well, that one over there cooking, and then she said, hey, what would have been the alternative if she said you ain't getting no hot sauce? I thought, are you saying that to me? I got up and I said, well, there wouldn't be no alternative. I said, y'all women know us men rule. I said, and I would have got me a pack of hot sauce, regardless if y'all ladies want to give me one. I said, there was no alternative option. I turned around and said, got back in there. She said, yes, ma'am. I got back in there. Hey, your hot sauce is in there. I said, okay, thank you for my hot sauce. I walked out, you know, and I said, man, we live in a generation where people don't even, you know, they just think this thing is just funny stuff. But honoring God and honoring God's word, we honor men and women. We love our wives as Christ so loved the church. We keep that vision through that word. If we do that, we get the benefits that Jesus got.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for